lot or something like that. That is a great plan for a long weekend. I'm a father of three young children, and that always sounds like a great plan on a long weekend. So today, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we begin a new sermon series that will continue throughout the month of September. And the idea for this series grew really from my own reflection following some of the staff transitions we've experienced as a church this summer. If you haven't been with us, we've had a few people that have been leaders in our church in the past who God has called on to other ministry assignments. Keith Hartzell, Dawn Hartzell, Lori Carpenter, Phil Landon. These were all positive transitions for them in the life of our church, and we bless and celebrate what God's doing in them. But the body of Christ is interconnected, and so of course these changes do have an impact on our church as a whole. And as I became sort of the senior leader of our parish, I began asking myself this basic question. In light of these transitions we've experienced in our church this summer, how might God be calling us to move forward together as a congregation here at Cornerstone Anglican Church in Portage Park? This is the question I've been asking, and now I want to invite you into reflection with me on this question for the next few weeks in the month of September. Now, I've been around the block in ministry long enough to know that sometimes when a preacher begins a future-oriented sermon series like this, everyone in the room starts bracing themselves for like the 50-year strategic plan or something, like Kyle's going to come with whatever mayhem in mind. And I can tell you that's not what this sermon series is. This will not be primarily a strategic vision series. My hope is it will be primarily a gospel vision series. In this series, I want to offer a few focal texts, images, and themes from Scripture that I believe can help us remain grounded in our identity as a church during this season. Nothing we discuss will be particularly unique to Cornerstone Anglican Church in Portage Park. What I share could be preached at any church, at any time, in any place, really. But I do hope to share these timeless truths in a way that feels relevant to where we are as a church today, now. I hope to help us make spiritual sense of how some of the Scripture's big ideas about the church might become embodied in our zip code. And to anchor our conversation throughout this series, I've tried to synthesize these themes we'll be discussing into a single sentence. You maybe saw on the poster outside the doorways here into the sanctuary, Claire beautifully rendered it on that poster. It's also printed on your worship guide on the sermons page that is there for you. This is it. We are a family of God on mission together to share God's love with our city. We are a family of God on mission together to share God's love with our city. And each week of this series, we'll unpack a different phrase from this sentence to explore how the Scriptures communicate a gospel vision for our church. So that's where we're heading. Today's big idea from Scripture is this. God invites each of us to join his family. He does this so we first can receive and then share his blessing. The image of the family of God emerges early in the story of Scripture with today's Old Testament passage from Genesis 12. In it, God calls a man named Abram, whose name later changes to Abraham. You're probably more familiar with him as Abraham, so that's what I'm going to call him this morning. God calls Abraham to leave his home country and travel to a land that he did not know, a land that God would only show him when he got there. This would require Abraham to leave behind his extended family and start a new life at the ripe old age of 75. He would take with him his immediate biological family, which at this time included no children, because his wife Sarah was actually barren. In spite of this, God promised that if Abraham would walk forward in faith, God would give Abraham descendants that would become a great nation. In other words, this nation would be an extended family that could trace itself back to Abraham as its father. And if you're familiar with the Scriptures, you know this extended family first refers to the people of Israel. But as we'll see in a few minutes, this understanding expands once Christ comes. For now, the point is that God promised his blessing would be upon Abraham and his descendants, and, this is important, that all the families of the earth would be blessed in Abraham. Now, this word bless is used quite a bit in Genesis 12, especially those first three verses you heard read this morning. But what does it actually mean in Scripture? I mean, after all, outside the walls of a church like this, we really only hear the word bless when, you know, like someone sneezes, right? So it's actually a word in the book of Genesis that's used pretty often in the chapters leading up to Genesis 12. And when it's used, it almost always refers to God's blessing. When God blesses, he is speaking a life-giving word to something or someone. See, there's this thing we learn about God in the Scriptures early on, that when God speaks, God acts. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When God speaks, God acts. And so when God blesses, he is imprinting something of his goodness and grace onto the one being blessed. His creative goodness is being imparted into someone's life. He's acting to enhance the flourishing of the one whom he blesses. So God promises to bless Abraham, to print his goodness onto him and his descendants if Abraham will leave his country and go to another land. Abraham's family will directly receive God's blessing. But I remember this is important. The other families of the earth, those outside of Abraham's family, will also somehow receive blessing through Abraham's family. In other words, God's people will mediate God's blessing to the world. They will channel it to the world, like a straw channels water from a glass to thirsty lips. God's blessing is not meant to stop with Abraham's family. It's meant to flow forth from Abraham's family to all the peoples of the world. Now, I want to pause here to acknowledge that this moment, this here, is where this focal image of the family of God can become a complicated one for us. Again, as we'll see in a minute, the church understands herself to be a part of God's family today, which means that we too are meant to channel God's blessing to the world. But too often, I fear that that's not how the world always experiences God's family, is it? Too often the family of God is experienced not as a blessing, but more like a dysfunctional family. Maybe you've had this experience too, regrettably. Just as some of us experience pain and harm from our biological families, we may experience pain and harm even from the family of God. This is an uncomfortable reality to name, but I think we've got to name it anyway as we start this series. I know many of us have listened to the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast. If you're not familiar with it, it's a story. It tells the story of a particular church in Seattle called Mars Hill Church that was pastored by a man named Mark Driscoll. Driscoll was an especially dynamic leader whose charisma helped build Mars Hill into one of the biggest and most influential churches in the country. However, he also displayed some pretty deep and serious character flaws, which the podcast helps to name: pride, deceit, harshness toward those under his care, abuse of his spiritual authority. Driscoll led from these flaws and allowed these same flaws to be replicated in the structures and life of his church. And in 2014, Mars Hill Church imploded because of how destructive its culture had become. So the podcast is filled with stories about how the church, on the one hand, in many ways did bless others, bless the community, but at the same time created so much harm in people's lives too, leaving a trail of broken spiritual lives in its wake. Now, the tragic story of Mars Hill is a pretty extreme example of a church whose capacity to bless was mixed at best. But I want to name this very clearly as we begin this series. Every church has at least some flaws, because every church is made up of broken people. There are no perfect churches because there are no perfect people. I know I'm not one. Every church, like every family, has at least some dysfunction. Every church has ways in which it does not fully embody the blessing of God to the world. That's the harsh reality. But by God's grace, that's not the whole reality. You see, when we are honest before God and each other about our shortcomings, and when we seek God's help to grow us, God can transform us through His Holy Spirit. This requires humility and open-heartedness. But by God's grace, we, both as individuals and as a church community, can become more fully alive through the power of Jesus at work in us. Amen? And as we mature, we are able to more fully and freely channel God's blessing out into a world that so desperately needs to experience God's blessing. But let me say one more thing on this point to you this morning. If you carry a past wound from a church experience that prevents you from experiencing God's blessing in the church, I encourage you to seek help and healing from that past experience. It might be painful, it might take a little courage, but I hope you'll do it. If you feel safe sharing more with me, I would be honored to help you get connected with more support. Because I don't want anything to keep us from receiving the good news that God wants each of us to receive His blessing as we participate in His family. I want nothing to hinder us from receiving His blessing through His church. Now, at this point in the sermon, you may be thinking something. Some of you may be thinking something to yourself. Few of us can trace our biological heritage back to the people of Israel. So, what does it actually mean for us to become part of God's family? It's a fair question. Paul's argument in today's passage from Galatians is that we become adopted into God's family through Jesus' finished work on the cross. Our passage is part of a much more complicated and long, extensive argument that Paul's making in the book of Galatians, and so if you'll permit me just to summarize it briefly, some of the main points here. He shares that both Jew and Gentile stand under the curse of God's law, because God's law reveals to us our own fallen nature. We've all fallen short, and there's nothing you and I can do to be made right with God on our own merits. We cannot earn God's blessing or God's favor. But through Jesus' redeeming work on the cross, we can be free from our own brokenness and selfishness and sin. Jesus Christ was the one singular descendant of Abraham who was utterly obedient to God's law. He obeyed God even to the point of death on a cross. On the basis of his faithfulness, God's original promises of blessing remain available to us. And now it doesn't matter if you're a biological Jew or a biological Gentile. Paul says you can be called a child of God and an heir to God's promises because of what Jesus, the Son of God, has done. What's required is that we have faith that Jesus accomplished this for us. As Galatians 3:26 says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons and daughters," I might add, "of God through faith." You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now God's blessings channel through Jesus to all who turn to Him in faith. Through faith in Jesus, we are adopted into God's family and become heirs. We inherit God's promise of blessing. The sacrament of this promise of blessing is the sacrament of baptism. And today we have the honor of baptizing Benedict Gosnell into God's family. Baptism, when received with faith, unites us with Jesus. Paul tells us in Galatians that for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Being united with Jesus, we are received into God's family as his sons and daughters. And every spiritual blessing in Christ is now available to us because of our adoption. So this is a joyous day in the life of God's family because a new child is entering God's family today. Every spiritual blessing in Christ will be available to Benedict by faith because of his adoption. Moving forward in the Galatians passage slightly into chapter 4, you heard Elise share words that aren't actually printed in your bulletin. They're actually important words to the overall argument in Galatians, so I apologize. But in this passage and what follows in Galatians, Paul shares an important truth. God's blessing is expressed specifically through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who himself always gives life, specifically the resurrected life of Jesus, which transforms believers and brings about God's new creation in the world. The Holy Spirit's work in the world fulfills God's promise to impart his life-giving blessing to all the families of the earth. Paul is saying that for those in Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit who enacts God's new creation. Because of Jesus, we are entitled to receive God's original promise of blessing, and it's applied to our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Benedict is literally being immersed in that promise today. And friends, when our baptismal identity as God's adopted children becomes real to us, when the Holy Spirit ministers a genuine experience of Christ's loving redemption of you and me, then the natural response of our hearts is to want to seek out the blessing of others. We want to share God's life-giving blessing with others. It will move us to invite others into God's family so that they can taste and see that the Lord is good for themselves. And it can give us an imagination for seeking out the flourishing of others. So as we close, I want to illustrate what this might look like by sharing a story with you from the church I grew up in, the small subset of the family of God that I was raised in. I was reminded of this story recently. Some of you know I went back home for the funeral of the pastor who I grew up with. He was my first mentor in ministry. When I was a teenager, there was a girl that was part of our youth group. For the sake of this sermon, I'll call her Jackie. Jackie had become part of our church because there was a particular gentleman in our congregation who made it his ministry to drive an old beat-up school bus around the neighborhoods around our church and invite kids to take it to come to church on Sunday mornings. Now, I recognize this is rural Missouri in the 90s, so this would play a lot differently perhaps in urban Chicago in 2022. But nevertheless, this man displayed such faithfulness to go knock on the doors of strangers, to get to know these parents and invite them to send their kids to our Sunday school. And week in and week out, snow, sleet, rain or hail, you know, that whole business, he would go and he would drive that bus so that these kids could come learn about Jesus even if their parents wouldn't come. Jackie was one of these kids. Now, Jackie grew up in a broken home. Her father was absent, and her mother, for various reasons, was not able to take good care of her or her sibling. There were several nights when Jackie's mother would lock her out of the house, and so our pastor would drive at 3 or 4 in the morning to go pick up Jackie and bring her to the parsonage where she could spend the rest of the night with him and with his wife, Janie. In time, Jackie gave her life to Jesus and was baptized in our church. She became a beloved part of our church and a leader in our youth group. But her home life didn't change. And as more of her teenage years passed, there was one particular family that helped lead our youth group and had gotten to know Jackie well. They began to open their home to her when she needed a safe place to be. And as they got to know her better, they came to be convinced that the best way to ensure that Jackie would have a life of flourishing was for her to be adopted by them. They already had a couple of kids of their own. They were much younger than Jackie. But to ensure Jackie's flourishing, they chose to adopt her. She lived with them throughout the rest of her teenage years. They're the ones who sent her to college. They're the ones she still calls mom and dad. And Jackie, for her part, is flourishing. She has a husband and a couple of children of her own. She's worked in both elementary schools and in a large church as a staff member in the college town where they live. And when I was back home, she was reflecting on her experience of being cared for by our church growing up. "Kyle, here's the thing." She's very blunt. "I served a large church for a few years, and I know when people see a need, they can get pretty worked up over what programs or what initiatives we're going to have to take care of this person or that problem. For me growing up, there was no program or initiative. People just showed up and loved me when I needed it." When we understand how richly we've been blessed in Jesus Christ, when it touches our hearts for real, it transforms us. It compels us to find ways to channel God's blessing to the world. When we bless others, we bring the creative goodness of God to people where they are. Jackie needed the blessing of God. And it was such a powerful experience to grow up in a church that showed up and loved well so that God's blessing could be poured out on a girl whose life will never be the same. It doesn't matter if it's a mega church of a few thousand or a small rural church of a few dozen. I've got to believe that moving forward together looks something like the family of God showing up and loving people toward abundant life in Jesus. We are but a twig on the great family tree of God's family. But we are a twig. We have our part to play in sharing God's blessing with our world. We are a family of God on mission together to share God's love with our city. What will that mean for us? I don't know if we can fully know that yet. But I do know that as a part of God's family, we will have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to bless and to receive God's blessing through one another. God promises we have received every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. And now, as God's family, we have the joyful invitation to share that blessing with others who need to know that God loves them and he desires their good for eternity. And so, Lord, would you help it to be so in us? Would you teach us what it means to be part of your family? To truly receive every spiritual blessing in your Son, Jesus Christ. Let it transform us, God. Shape us, Lord, as you will. Shape us to look more and more like him who is our life, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we become more like him, would you send us out into the world and let the world see him when they see us. We thank you that we are in you, Lord Jesus. We are in Christ. We are in you. We cling to that promise today, and we claim every promise you've given to us this morning. We claim them. We ask for the grace to walk forward together, seeking to embody your presence, embody your blessing to a world that needs it. I pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm.